Well, the windows are
All
so
right,
bright.
what's up, everybody? Use your thing if you want, but ladies and gentlemen,
I can't.
Very special friend here today. He has a very cool job. He is one of my best friends, great guy, very white teeth, and great musician. Kyle, introduce yourself, please.
Hello, Kyle Cook here. How you doing?
And that's all, folks. So we're going to shut it off. We're going to read
that. That's it. Take it easy.
We're going to restart from the beginning. Kyle, that was so annoying. And I was like, Kyle, reintroduce yourself once again. Make it good. But
okay,
like, imagine imagine.
I'm Kyle Cook. I am an individual. Existing in a world with human intelligence. I myself don't consider myself super intelligent. Let's see. I work and I play music. I have many hobbies. Anything I can do to not be alone with my own thoughts, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, brother, because your own thoughts will be like, hey, what are you, a freaking idiot or whatever? Oh,
yeah, exactly. Only like 10 times worse.
Yeah, and it says way worse things than that, right? Shut up, Pat. I hate you. No, I hate you too. What is going on?
The endless cycle. Yeah,
it's just a vicious cycle. So, Kyle, so it sounds like we're kind of getting into it already. You and me have known each other for like 5-6 years. How's your mental health, dude? How are you? How you doing? Because I've had some ups, I've had some really low downs. It's always good to ask people how they're doing and how they're feeling. So how are you?
Yeah, definitely. It's been an interesting pandemic time. What's that time frame? We're nearing a year.
Yeah, right? I think about March was when it like really kicked off.
Yeah, I was thinking today about how there are people I have not seen in a full year. Friends of mine that I saw on my birthday, which is coming up in a few weeks, and that's the last time I saw them, you know, last year. It's pretty crazy. But one thing I have been doing a lot is playing video games, which sounds silly, but to me it was never a big part of my life, just something I would do casually. And you'd think it in a way it could be time wasting, and there are different frames of mind, especially when you're talking about something as trivial as just like playing video games. But for me, it's actually been super helpful, which is something I never thought I'd say in a situation like this. I've met at least 15 people who are friends of friends. People I've never met in person that I've chatted with on like this, like Zoom or like on voice calls while playing video games with them. I've gotten to know them. I've gotten to know them better than a lot of people I've met in person, because when you're so involved in like playing different kinds of games, like things happen, like you could sort of show your true colors, especially if you get angry easily or like you like to mess around, like whatever that may be for you. Like a lot of people really just like open up. I've had all different kinds of conversations, and I've gotten to know a lot of these people really well. It's really cool. I can go, you know, I can say I've sat in my room for upwards of 11 months and I've met all these people that I otherwise probably wouldn't have, and I've gotten to know them. And it's still crazy to me that a lot of them I have not met in person at all. We've played games. Like, I wonder what Kyle looks like they'll say to me, like, I picture him, he's like tall and like, you know, like really skinny or whatever. And I'm like, not at all, dude. I'm not tall. I'm picture the most average looking white dude with blonde hair. And that's me.
Yeah, dude, Wasp Nation.
But it's really cool that I've gotten to know these people in this way. So it's actually been a really helpful. It helps keep my mind off the negative, gives me something to do, gives me people to laugh with, people to get to know, people to rage with, whatever you want to call it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you, Alex, Justin, Chris, and myself have all gotten we were like, I mean, you and Chris didn't really know each other, but like we've all gotten very close over the past year because of playing Call of Duty when quarantine just started, Dungeons and Dragons when I wasn't a psycho, and yeah, and like it just, people like to talk about the negative effects of video games, which they do exist, right? Like they're very, you know, there's addictive qualities that are put in there on purpose. It can be a big time waster because of those addictive qualities, but also the social aspect. No one would have, you know, expected what happened with the quarantines and the shutdowns and not being able to go out and go to school and what it would have, you know, the effects it would have on people's mental health. Video games and just, you know, whether it's role-playing games or whatever, anything in general, just being able to communicate online has been a way for people to communicate and spend time together, whereas they wouldn't have been able to do that if this didn't exist. If this quarantine had happened in, you know, say, you know, 2001, we'd all kind of be screwed right now. You know, we'd all be like, things would be way worse. And I think we should be thankful that we have all the technology that we have. You know, as much as people want to say that technology is a horrible thing, it's actually made a lot of lives much better, even if it's something as trivial as, that seems trivial as video games, it's not trivial because it's probably realistically, and I'm being straight up honest here, saved a lot of people from getting really depressed and maybe even like suicidal.
Yeah. I mean, myself included, I've had a lot of struggles with mental health in the past. And I can honestly say I haven't had any severe downs in this time period, which is surprising to me. Working from home was fairly quickly implemented for me at my job. And I actually work more now than I ever did when I was going into the city and going into the office. So I've been very, very fortunate to have just like a life that works in my bedroom. And it's small and it can get really confining. And sometimes I get a little stir crazy, but I have everything I need. I have, you know, everything I could ask for, you know, and I'm just happy that like I'm staying safe and like I don't have to be out and about like a lot of people do right now. And I mean, for me, it's just like, let me just protect others as much as I can. Let me just social distance as much as I can. So the people that do have to do that are even just like one degree less in harm's way, because I'm not going out doing whatever I want, or even just going out because I have to. Just like the avoidance of the social interaction, I think is helpful for everyone in any capacity. So I'm doing my part, you know, I'm living my life. And it's very different without music being the center of my life, because it used to be. You know, we can't really play shows or go out. It's even hard to meet just for practice. Like we want to be careful. You know, we only recently started meeting again, and we pay to be in a large studio space, and we stand, you know, separate in different corners, you know, because I can't really wear a mask when I'm like trying to sing into the mic. So we try to like distance as much as we can, and we do what we can. It's been a very different lifestyle for me without music at the center, but it's finally starting to come back. I'm finally starting to work again. I can confidently say I'm in two bands, Spitshine, my own music I've created mostly, and worked on with friends, and Olive in the Pits, a friend of mine's project, a friend from high school who I've known a very long time, Olivia Riggio. She's, you know, obviously very talented. If you look her up and listen to her music, you'll know immediately. She has gone through a period of evolving sort of self analysis of her art and her sound and what she wants to be, and she's been doing that over the past year. She's used this time to do that. She's finally back on the horse, and we're finally discussing reworking a lot of the music we thought we were going to release, you know, well over a year ago. We're completely changing now, so I'm really excited to be a part of that. We're not even meeting up, we're just sort of sending little recordings back and forth, like, oh, what if it did this, what if we had this guitar or this keyboard sound, whatever, blah blah blah. Just very like remote musical collaboration, but it is very exciting to be part of again. I with Spitshine, you know, we recorded demos throughout the year, like a lot, like the beginning of 2020. And we decided, let's take them seriously. Let's redo some of the parts as best we can. Let's have a professional mix it and master it, put it all together, and we're gonna release those soon. We're trying to take some promotional pictures and like make some posts and be like, hey, we're still a thing. We're still trying to make music. We love doing it. And that'll be out soon. So there are exciting things as vaccines start to get distributed, the world starts to turn back to some semblance of normalcy, and I'm just really excited for all that,
Yeah, do that, and that's. I'm glad Olive and the Pits is still a thing because like one of my favorite bands, one of my favorite acts to see. You guys are great live. Spitshine's great too. Everyone, make sure check out the links below because I'll put some of that up. Whatever Kyle wants to send me, for link wise. But one of the things that really stuck out that you said to me was, if we can just change things 1%, it's better for so many more people. I've been listening to this audiobook. On Spotify, it's up there for free, called Atomic Habits, and it's incredible. And it's about how changing things 1% can have huge impacts, right? So, for example, if you're in a plane going from like I think San Francisco to New York City, right? It's like a straight line, Route 80 type deal, right? But if you just change the trajectory of that plane 3 degrees south, 3.5 degrees south, you end up in Washington, D.C. Huge differences, small percentages. And I think we can even stretch that into like the stuff you do when the world's crazy. So you're still making music, right? And you're playing video games, and you're still working, and you have all these things still going for you. It seems like you are even taking proper steps because you're someone who struggled with mental health and stuff before. You're kind of doing it. I'm doing is like 1% atomic habits where you're changing things, and they're making the overall state of your mind astronomically better.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
Yes or yes.
Yes or yes, if I write. Here's an easy to answer question. I would agree because I spend a lot of time in the past wondering what I could do and trying different things, and it's been a long haul. I think a lot of the for myself personally, I think a lot of the ships lined up just like the right way. The planets sort of aligned. I was finally feeling better enough to come off of mental health medication. That was February last year. That was 1 year ago that I came off of medication. And I was worried, oh, am I going to be able to handle it or whatever. At the same time, I really started the video game thing. That's something at the time over a year ago, I was saying I should get back into that. That'll give me something to do. Just thinking it was something to spend my free time on, and then having it turn into just like this astronomical difference in my life with all these different people who I otherwise wouldn't have known. And it's really important for everyone's sake to look for those small adjustments that have a positive impact. And I know it's just a show, but I'm watching Sherlock for the first time. I've never seen it. A really
Hear me?
interesting lot. What did you say?
You hear me? Because we're breaking up in and out,
Yeah.
and we're having some connectivity problems. If you watch,
There's like red bars next to your name. I can hardline. Let me do that.
those of you listen to the audio version. Oh, Kyle's back.
Let me plug her in so I don't have any issues on my end.
Hey man, it's completely okay. This stuff happens, especially when it first started. It was really bad, so whatever. We're just chilling. We're just goofing around, having a good old time, being goofy goofballs.
Having super serious conversations about life.
And it gets a little goofy. Once you have network connectivity problems, it gets a little wacky and zany up in the crib. You know what I'm saying?
Sure does.
What are some of the musicians you're listening to? Talk to me.
Let's see. I'll start on the local level. Let me just pull up, make sure I get it right. I don't want to say someone's name wrong. What do you say?
Biggest. Phoebe Bridges.
Well, yeah, Phoebe Bridgers is really blowing up, which is great. Worrystone on the local level. Worrystone is just like this random band with like a couple singles. And I really enjoy the sound. The girl who writes and sings, her name is Allie, I believe. She's got just like really funny content on Twitter. That's sort of how I came across. I think we have mutual or whatever. So, just like really hilarious TikTok and like Twitter presence just like grabbed me. And I think that's important, especially with music and gaining an audience, is like, what other aspects can you do? Can you use to draw people in? So that really worked for me. Just like a no-name band that I'm now just like super into. What else? I, to be more relatable to your audience, will say that I recently have started listening to Billie Eilish. I've always like admired the sort of spooky pop vibe. And it wasn't until recently that I was like, why don't I just like listen to her music? Like I never really gave it a fair shot because I was like, I don't usually listen to popular music, or pop music in general. But more recently, I've been trying to open myself up to pop music. So I found a bunch of songs on her most recent album that I'm just like really into.
I hear a lot of people saying that about Billie Eilish. Like a lot of my friends, like you, who only listen, like who usually typically only listen to more underground, more alternative stuff, are getting really into Billie Eilish. And she's kind of, I don't know. Do you feel like she's bridging a gap? That, and I feel like that bridge is being built, but she was maybe like the missing link between alternative and pop.
Yeah, I think she definitely lends herself to just like she just has this ability to bring different elements and different sounds together in a really digestible way, and that's just where her success comes from. The it's different. People always want something different, I think. I think while remaining catchy and like pop at its core, that just like is what makes it so popular. You know, people want new but not too new. You know, that's just what people want. And then a lot of the people who like more obscure sounds are drawn in as well because she's obviously using a lot of that. And it's
That's
just,
true.
it's really cool. It's really impressive. I honestly wish I could be doing the same thing.
Yeah, I mean her like her brother Phineas is one of the I think probably like maybe the best producer in the game. And then with her songwriting, which is incredible, and her like really different personality and voice, I mean it's just such a great thing they have going on. And I think Billie Eilish is gonna be huge for a really long time. She's definitely like what Lady Gaga was when Lady Gaga started blowing up. That's what Billie Eilish is right now, and she's going to be like a future legend. All this, that kind of I've been referring to it in my own head as like pop. The trap music, it has elements of emo and pop punk in it, and that's getting very popular. Another artist I really like that's newer. You know Kacey Musgraves? She's a country artist.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, super cool. She sings about really different things. So like a lot of country gets made fun of. You know that Bo Burnham song where it's like blue dreams, clear. But she sings about, you know, just being your own person. It doesn't self and just like things get shitty. And she talks about depression and microdosing. And I think that's really cool when normally here.
Microdosing is cool.
I
I've done it once or twice.
Yeah. What was your experience like?
Yeah, you know, it was uplifting. It was It was good. I definitely didn't experiment with it in a serious way. I wasn't approaching it like, let me try this as a way to cope with my own mental health. It was more just like, let me try this for fun. So I didn't really take stock of the experience as well as I probably could have or should have. But it's cool. I mean, I know you were considering something like that at some point.
Yeah, and I do want to say too, after you did it, were you even more surprised that it's illegal to
Yeah,
do?
definitely. I mean, the problem is you can't trust people on their own to have controlled dosages. But if you get the government involved and regulation and legalization, it's very easy to control doses for
Right.
people. It's just a dangerous game, I guess, because the effects of a higher dosage are just like so astronomically different from a micro dosage. In some ways, even with regulation, you can't trust people to be responsible. So it's an interesting game. I think if more studies could be done, the studies that do exist are very eye-opening, and I think more of them are necessary to change people's perspective. It's one of those things that's just a very slow process. If you're going to get people on board, you got to really take it step by step, and just like show why, how it works.
And a lot, it just, with everything we know now about the universe and just all the information we have, the fact that a lot of these things are illegal, is just, it shocks me. Like, I understand the regulation, you don't want people to get hurt, but if the government regulates it, it's like anything else. I mean, like, these drugs are not as dangerous as the drugs some of your, friends out there, friends and family are taking for, depression, and like the opioids they take for pain relief and stuff. And I definitely know that because I had to take oxycodone for my shoulder surgery, and that was the most intense high I've ever had in my life, and it was scary. And like, those things you can actually overdose on. So, and I do want to mention too, a psychedelic experience. It's so like, everyone's like, there's such a stigma against it, right? Like, oh, you trip or whatever. Like, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Like, people typically think of people who do stuff like that as like weird, gross hippies. Like, it, like, look at all the people that do this stuff. Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, like these tech billionaires. You have a pretty great job. I've worked in pretty good jobs myself. Like, it's not just like dirty hippies doing these things. You trip every single night when you sleep. You literally have a DMT trip every single night that you sleep, and you need that to make the connections in your brain. Otherwise, you would go crazy. You need that to be imaginative. You need dreams to feel refreshed and feel like you can be creative. And that's what a lot of psychedelic drugs do. They're just tools to either help create, well, yeah, we'll make connections in your brain that may have not existed there before. Of course, people have to be careful, but to it's such an ironic thing, like we ban these drugs because people are afraid of the effects, but we have more intense effects every single night.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
I've dabbled in the psychedelic experiences in the past, and I think it's definitely something personally I was glad I experienced. It really opens your mind to the possibilities of perspective and consciousness, and just like what it all means, and how different it can be with just that 1% difference, like we were talking about earlier, in your brain chemistry. All of a sudden your entire existence is altered and everything is perceived differently. And it's pretty amazing that whatever this is in normalcy, sobriety, just like your day to day, is considered, why, who's to say it's not weird. Like we wouldn't know if we were meant to be experiencing things differently. So it is an interesting experience. It's definitely one worth living into, just to learn about yourself and your own perspective, even if you only do it the one time or whatever, you know?
Yeah. And I definitely want to get into consciousness a little more too. And I like that you brought up, you know, like what, I forget exactly what you said, but it was about like, if the way we're experiencing things is like the right way or actually how we're supposed to. And, you know, one of the things I always think of, you know, like when the world gets crazy and people are obsessed with politics and social media, one thing I always try, if I ever get stressed out about that stuff, like, this is weird, but it helps me. I try to think sometimes, you know, jellyfish are conscious, but in a very different way. Plants mm-hmm. are conscious in a very different way. They don't experience stress like we do. They don't experience all these thoughts and cares and inhibitions and ego like we do. So I always try to like think to myself, it's so weird, but like be like a jellyfish, or like, I don't always do this, but it helps sometimes, like be like a tree. Because we're very, the word is cerebrocentric, where we view things, like everything has to be viewed from the lens of like a brain experiencing the world. But you're more than just your brain, you know, you're your pinky too. You know, and you can't see or hear with your pinky, you know? So like, that's kind of like, that's how I feel like it's like to be a tree or a jellyfish, is to just put your consciousness in your pinky or whatever. And if that falls off, you know, that's part of you that's died. So I think we just get too obsessed with ourselves and this whole facade of a society that we've created. And it's nice. My question to you, Kyle, is, you know, I want you to respond to what I'm saying, obviously, but, you know, what can we even consider real?
That is a good question. Our own perception of reality is vastly different person to person. And I see a lot of this in personality. Some people are raised a certain way and some people are raised another way. And I find that our upbringing has a huge impact on who we become, and our own personality, and then how we perceive things. And in turn, our own consciousness is in a way, I think, altered. It's impossible for me to know because I'm only one person. But I definitely think that there's a lot of differences from person to person in just general consciousness. Because I go around believing what I believe. I look at someone on the street and I think what I think. I see them, I take a glance, oh, it's a person with short hair and she's a white woman, and oh, she's a Karen, you know. That's maybe that's my first judgmental thought or whatever. To someone else it could be something completely different, and they're perceiving everything around them differently. Oh, that's another that looks like a nice lady, you know. Oh, everything's so nice, you know, blah blah blah. Whatever it might be that's in your own head. It's very interesting. So how do we know what's real? How do we know who's right and who's wrong? You know, there's no way to say. It's just about coming in contact with others, discussing experiences, and just like living your life. I like what you said about just trying to be, in a sense, you said it differently, but in a sense, in your own body. And you're sort of your own functionality apart from your brain. Everything, there's so much autonomy. There's so many things just happening without our knowledge, you know, at all. Imagine if our own consciousness dissipated, those things would still be happening. I'd still be breathing. My heart would still be pumping. And there are people who are, you know, more or less vegetables. They can't do anything, but their body continues on. And what are they experiencing? What is their consciousness? What is their reality? It's all very interesting that chemicals, these tiny little synapses in our brains, are just like firing electrical pulses, and that's what determines the makeup of everything we believe to be true or real or whatever you want to call it. It's really interesting. So I think that self-observation, self-awareness, are all important elements in just sort of understanding this weird, messed up chemical process that just like creates an entire species that can literally dominate an entire world and just be the top of the food chain and create societies and just things beyond the comprehension of something like a like an animal, like a tree or a fish.
Yeah. And I think that's as real as it can get right now, just understanding that that's the state that we're in and knowing that. And I think that's as real as you can be.
And if you want to be weird about it and have fun with it, there's, you know, there's the step further. What about life that has a perception of reality that's even higher than our own? And the difference between us and them is the difference between a fish and us, something we couldn't even comprehend because our the makeup of our own physiology, our own brains is just not capable of understanding, perceiving just like on that level, you know.
The brain is the most important organ in the body, according to my brain. There's a great book that I really think everyone should read it. It's called Being Wrong by Catherine Schulz. Maybe an abridged version. I read a version that was quite long. It's just about how one of the most important things she talks about in that book is that, and it's influenced my own writing as well, that we're always in a state of perpetual wrongness, right? And so what is a hallucination other than being wrong? Because all you have are your perceptions, and a hallucination is a warping of your perceptions. So if your perceptions are, if you're wrong, you're already hallucinating. So, which is a crazy thing to think of. And it's kind of, it was mind blowing to me that, yes, like there's that thing, like we're always hallucinating because everything is like our synapses and chemical reactions. But a step further, a step beyond that is like, well, hallucinations are just your senses or your ideas being wrong. And we're always wrong, right? Like we'll never know what it's like to see in the fourth dimension, like that, that creature that sees beyond us. We'll never know what it's like to see even in the second dimension or the first, like an ant or some sort of a amoebic creature. So it's just important to understand that, you know, what's real is kind of like this thirst for knowledge and to grow and to understand, because beyond that, everything that you're leaving behind when you're not learning was a wrong hallucination. It was somewhere on the spectrum of madness. And we're kind of, I guess it's some sort of immortality project where we feel like we have to escape that to ascend to some sort of nirvanic state. But I would say maybe it's best to step away from that and just to understand that, like, you're just here to learn. And to, as Alan Watts says, you know, the meaning of life is just to live. So don't get too caught up in what you believe, because at some degree, what you believe is wrong. No matter if you're the most right person in the world or the most wrong person in the world, something you believe is not true. Something you think is true is not true. Something beyond your brain senses is wrong in your body. So just live. I mean, that's really all I've been able to come up with. And it's something I've learned from Alan Watts. And, you know, I'm still trying to seek answers. And I feel like it might be, I said this to my therapist, like, is it futile to continue to learn and seek answers? Because I feel like, and I don't want to sound like a narcissist, but I kind of already get it. Just live and just try to let go of the ego when you don't need it. I think complete ego death is maybe bad, but I don't know. I don't even know I'm getting at here, Kyle.
That's all right. There's a strong point in there about separating your own ego. And like a lot, if a lot more people could even consider doing that, I think a lot of arguments could be avoided, you know?
Yeah. Everyone's too obsessed with being right, especially now. I mean, are you comfortable talking about your job, like what you do at all?
Yeah, that's fine. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, you work, you know, I'll let you explain, but you work in the news. So you see a lot of, and, I don't think it's not the people in the news's fault. It's always just people listening, like arguments help. Like, so you see a lot of ego and a lot of arguing and stuff, and a lot of people unwilling to be malleable in what they think.
Yeah, I do all the time. And it's surprising. But that's just their reality. They're right, you're wrong, you know, and that they'll stick to that till their dying breath, some of them. Which is unfortunate. But I think conversations like these, and I think separating yourself from your ego is important. You're going to learn to cooperate with others, because really our biggest issue as a species is not cooperating. We can't seem to be on the same page. And if people are different from you, that's automatically a problem instead of something you should embrace. And I think that that's really unfortunate. And I think it's what causes wars and death and just terrible, awful things. That it all stems from our big fat egos, just trying to be right all the time and not caring about other people. Like, I'm always trying to embrace the other side, even if I hate it, even if I dislike it to its core, because I want to see what other people see. I want to know why they think the way they do. And I think it all comes back to the same point. Like, people just need to open their minds to other perspectives and just be more willing to hear, listen, compromise. Especially now with the world on the brink, every day people say it's the worst it's ever been, and in some ways it is, it's not, and it's always going to be this way. It's not gonna be better or worse. You're just gonna see more of the awfulness around you. You're exposed to more of it now than ever because we have social media and the internet just throwing all the bad things in our faces all day long, even subconsciously, just like scrolling for Twitter or Facebook, whatever. It's just arguments and, oh, there's a problem in, this country, and oh, there's people dying here, and you're just sort of just it's just all being absorbed. Your brain's just a sponge, and it brings us to this really pessimistic view of the world. Everyone's like, 2021's the worst year ever. It's like, nah, dude, like, Hitler was a thing. Like, it's been real bad before. Like, this isn't unique or special. You're just hearing about it and digesting it all day long, every day. So of course it feels like the end of days, but it's not. We're gonna keep going, and everything's, to some degree gonna be okay. We just have to find a way to cooperate there and make the best of it,
Yeah, dude, absolutely. And I think that's such a good point. Like I've take social media breaks like during the week. I only go on just like really to post stuff usually or to contact people. And like the news almost means nothing to me anymore. Like I check it sometimes, but like I don't know these people. I don't know AOC. I don't know I'm looking at the news right now just because I thought we'd talk about it, but like I don't know Liz Cheney personally. I don't care. I care about my family, I care about myself. And I care about making the world a better place, and being obsessed with what someone's posting on social media or like what Liz Cheney is doing with GOP leadership does nothing to help you. Like that shit's not real to me. Like it is real because it's important, and you should have a little bit of an idea if you're gonna vote, but just to be obsessed with it all day is really not good for you. In Sapiens, the book Sapiens, Yuval Harari talks about this a little bit. The world's become a global place, so the problems of the world are global problems. Even if, forget countries, we're a global society. You can talk to someone from China, you can trade with someone from China money, you can trade with someone from Cambodia, from Canada, from Russia, from Ukraine, from Ethiopia. You can do all these things. We're a global society. So every little thing affects us now, and it's over inundating our brains. Back in the day, back, when I say that, I mean like pre-technological age. You could live in Canada and not know what happened in Mexico, and it would never bother you. And I just want to implore anyone listening to like try to delve into that a little bit. Try to just focus on yourself. One of my favorite things Jordan Peterson has taught me, it's in 12 Rules for Life, is set your house in perfect order before you judge the world. You have so many dragons to slay on your own. Why are you focused on yelling at other, let's say, knights for not slaying their dragons?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And with so many people struggling with mental health more than ever, we have enough to deal with on our own. We have our own demons to face. And if you can't do that, oh man. Yeah.
What is I mean, you've known me for, we've known each other for like 6 years, going on seven, I think. It's been a long time. No, it's about six. but, you know, you and I have both changed a lot. I've noticed in you, of course, like big, you've had some big, big changes in your life. And you've, you really, you know, as everyone does, you know, we've both, I think, matured a lot as people. What are some big dragons you've had to slay that were, you know, maybe let's use metaphors here. What was one of the hardest quests you had to go on personally? And then also what's one that you're still working on?
Well, I guess I could just do two for one there. The hardest thing I've ever had to go through is getting a grip on my own anxiety. It's something I believe is to some degree hereditary. I know that my mother from anxiety, and hers is a very physical one, and I've noticed that in myself. A lot of tenseness when trying to do things, normal things, driving, playing a game on my phone, having this conversation. I've got clenched hands under my desk or whatever. When anxiety became really present in my life, I was too young to even understand what was going on. I was a sophomore in high school, and I was going to a doctor, and he was prescribing me medication for depression, and I thought I was depressed, and I was so confused, and really I was just super anxious. And the person I was with at the time, sort of dating, whatever you call it in high school, was exacerbating it because of her own mental health issues, and I wasn't working on myself. And it wasn't until I got out of that relationship, realized I stopped going to that doctor. I was like, I'm fine. You know, this person is the problem. It's them. It's them. It's not me. Really, they were just inflaming my own anxiety. So the hardest thing I've ever had to tackle is how do I cope with something that I can't get rid of, this anxiety that's always been present, with just everyday things manifesting it, and then extreme situations bringing it to the boiling point. How do I cope with those situations? And it's been the hardest struggle in my life is to learn different methods of breathing and just like self-awareness of what's going on, focusing on things that are in my control instead of things that are out of my control. All of these sort of things that I've learned through therapy, psychiatry, and different, you know, just my own research online, stuff like that, that's been really important and difficult for me. And to your other question, it is something I'm still working on. I feel like I have a really great grasp on it, more than I ever have before. Especially the past year or two. I was starting to have more depressive episodes, and the anxiety was bubbling a couple of years ago, and I was just journaling all the time, and it was a powerful tool for me to look back and like reflect on how I was feeling. And I would write just my every thought and try to analyze it as much as I could, so I could really sit back later and understand it and try to accept. And just like accepting it was the first step, just like, this is the problem. I just have to live with it, and I have to cope with it. And I've come a really, really long way, which is amazing. And I'm just like, every day is just, I never know what degree of anxiety or might come my way, but you know, I'm ready for it.
I have really sweaty armpits. Oh my God, bro.
Me too, bro.
It's because I've been shaving my armpit hair. But yeah, and I'm really proud of you for like, you know, where, you know, your journey, and you're gonna keep slaying more dragons like that, and you're going to keep growing. You're going to keep being a tree and growing, and with support of your friends and your family and yourself, you're going to grow and keep learning. And that's all life is. Like we said, Kyle, it's been awesome having you on. I want to have you back on eventually. Where can people find you? Plug away, brother.
Kyle Robert Cook is usually my tag. It's just my full name. You can get Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever. And among those are links to projects I've worked on, whether that be music or videos or photography. I mean, there's so many different things. But you can always just hit me up and I'll talk to you about anything, you know?
Absolutely. And the bands you're in, just one more time for the people.
Spitshine, that's one word. Emo, punk, alternative rock type stuff. And Olive and the Pits, and being an ampersand, Pits spelled P-I-T-Z. Your traditional indie rock, dramatic ups and downs, emotional music.
Yeah. Awesome, I love it. Kyle, everyone please go check out Kyle and his music and all that stuff. And before you go, I ask all my guests this, please suggest a book or a quote that you really love. And because you're a musician, you can also suggest an album.
Ooh. Let's see. I recently read, well, maybe not so recently anymore. I guess it's been a while, but The River of Consciousness was a great book that I read. And I think it really helped me in our conversations today. Just a lot of interesting detail about that. Starting from the beginning, starting from plants and what consciousness they might seem to have to our own consciousness and the difference and rare cases of people who perceive things very differently and stuff like that. It's all very interesting.
I would love that. I just wrote it down.
Yeah, definitely. And an album? Was sure. That the other one?
Yeah.
Let's see. My favorite album recently. Oh, man. There's so many. Let's say Somewhere City. By Origami Angel, just like more like Midwestern emo type stuff. It's got a lot of good messages, very inwardly focused on bettering yourself. And the whole album has an amazing theme of both musically and lyrically, which I think is really great.
Okay, bye.
All right.